How many are ready to meet Jesus right now? Man, if He calls you home, you're ready?
Yes.
Ready to go? Full confidence. There's no fear in love, right? And God is perfect love. And we need to have the assurance, the confidence that Christ gives, amen, to know it's all right. Because it is true that especially the fear of man is a snare. It will paralyze. It will trip you up. It will cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Amen. Because the enemy is behind it. And he knows he can use fear to manipulate and control people. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. So we claim that for our lives. We declare that over our lives. Amen. And we battle that devil and we just put him in his place. You know, he comes at you with level one, you know, aggression. You meet him with level two and you stand in there, you stick in there until the job is done. Amen. Sometimes he's stubborn, but we're going to fight and we're going to overcome because we know who has already overcome him. Amen. And we just got to get into faith in God. Amen. And what he's done and what he's accomplished already. He has spoiled principalities and powers. He has overcome the enemy of our soul. And I can do all things through Christ. That's what I believe. Anything that doesn't agree with that is illegal. Throw it out. Amen. When you get into any type of fear or unbelief, because unbelief is fear, you know, we just say, I can do all things through Christ. I stand on the word of God. I stand on the promises of God. What God said is what's true about me. People want to define you. The devil wants to define us, but what's true about me is what God says about me. And anything that doesn't agree with that, I throw it out. And that's the battle, isn't it? It's a battle for your mind. It's a battle of truth, of what you're going to believe. And because what you believe is what you will live. Isn't that true? If you believe that the boogeyman is bigger than God, then you will live in fear of the boogeyman. I remember when I was a kid, I was scared, you know. So the neighbor kids were telling me about the boogeyman, and I didn't know about walking home at night after that, you know, alone. It does. It can paralyze us, can it, you know. But God wants his children to have full confidence in him, full assurance of faith in him, that he's with us, he's for us, and that he'll take us through every situation. When you go through the waters, he says, I'll be with you. And through the fire, right? You won't be burned. Through the rivers, it won't overflow you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So Jesus, we can do this together. We can overcome anything in your name. And I just need to stay connected, tethered to him. Amen. How many know that God is committed to you? How many have had relationships in the past where you thought somebody was really for you and with you and they were the real deal and they were going to be there through thick and thin? And sometimes in just in a moment of time, you felt like you were dropped like a bad habit or something. And that person's no longer in your life or they've just walked away. Or has anybody beside myself ever been betrayed by men? Sure. Everybody, right? We learn growing up when we're children, we're innocent and we're open. You know, we believe things and all. We have a few experiences along the way. Then we're not trusting anybody because, man, that you can't trust people, you know. How many know that God's people are people that you can trust? People that God has and that they have God, amen, are people that can be trusted. But how many know that no matter how trustworthy a person can be, they can still fail you and make mistakes? Even your friends, maybe husbands and wives, there's been times when we've just bumped heads and we haven't agreed or we've had a falling out or we felt maybe even betrayed by our mate. But, you know, God's kind of love is a sacrificial love. It's a covenant love. It's not a convenient love. It's covenant love. Convenient love is love because you have something I want or you can do something for me. Or a friend with weed is a friend indeed, right? Back in the day, yeah. Yeah. But when the weed's not there, neither is your friend, right? Your fair weather friends. We all know what it's like to have people that like to be around us when we have something, when they have an agenda. But see, God's love is not like that, is it? God's love is covenantal love. God's sacrificial love. God shed blood to purchase a people that he could love and restore and unite and bring to him to share in his glory. Amen? In his kingdom. To be partakers of the divine nature in Christ. God's love is a relentless love. God's love is a love that is not based upon feeling or emotion, but based upon truth. What he says is what he means. If God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then I have to get into agreement with that. And don't try to disqualify it or talk it away because maybe my feelings may be telling me something different. I have to believe what God says. And I discovered that when I am in faith, believing what God says, that good feelings follow faith. But often feelings deceive us. Just like we've all thought there were people in our lives that were going to be faithful friends, that would never gossip on you, that would never hurt your feelings or do anything behind your back, only to find out that they weren't true. And that they had an agenda. The relationship was based upon something they wanted from you. But understand this. What God wants is us. Amen. Amen? He wants us. And his love towards us is not based upon anything that we could really do or give him. Why? Because God owns it all. It's all his. We belong to him. Whatever talents or abilities or looks or finances, they all came from God. Whatever talents we have, they came from the Lord. The Lord gave those to us. So it's not like God needs anything from us, but God loves us anyways, and he wants us to be with him. And so he is committed faithfully to his people. He was committed to Israel in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Now, was it because they were lovely that God loved them? How many know that God loves the unlovely? Turn to your neighbor and say, that would be you. No, don't. God loves the unlovely. No, don't do that. I look in the mirror and say, man, you're pretty ugly. But God still loves me, so. You understand, we are loved by God. That's so important for us to understand. It wasn't that we loved God. It's not we can take credit, all right, for anything. It was because God loved us first. God cared enough about us to sacrifice himself through Jesus, amen, on that cross, so we could be with him. That's a committed love, amen. That is a love that is sacrificial. That is a love that it was without an agenda except that I wanted to save you from depravity. I wanted to save you from a devil's hell and bring you, amen, to myself so you could be my people. What a privilege it is to belong to Jesus. And he said, I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Again, you will plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own gardens there. The day will come when watchmen will shout from the hill country of Ephraim and come, let us go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, I have promised to restore my people Israel. God had given great and precious promises, amen, to Abraham and to his seed, and that would be Israel. And we see that happening today where God is drawing the Jews back to their homeland, amen. Throughout the earth, God had made promises to Abraham, and God is a covenant keeper. He's a promise keeper. Amen. And you and I today in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, have become one in Him. Amen. And we have entered into the blessings also that have been promised to Abraham. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been brought into that. And God says to His church today, you are my people. I have redeemed you. I have brought you to myself. He says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, and with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. You see, a lot of times we have trouble with that. Because we're used to living in a merit system. I have to earn whatever I get. Well, not so much in socialism. But you know what I'm talking about? Where we have this merit mentality. And listen, guys, we serve Jesus out of gratitude. We serve Jesus because we are in love with Him and we are thankful and appreciative of all He's done in our lives. And as a reasonable service, I offer my body back to Him. Amen. Lord, what can I do for you now? God give me this. How about, Lord, what can I do for you today? How can I put a smile on your face today? How can I bless you back? Not to earn credit, but because of love. You bless people that you love, don't you? You give good gifts to your children that you love. How can I give a gift to God when everything belongs to Him and everything came from Him? Well, I can offer my body back to Him, amen, in His service. That's our reasonable service. If you're not doing that, you're not living according to the plan of God for your life. God has a mission for every one of us in this room. Did you know that? God has a plan for your life, and it is to serve Him. Now, there's a battle taking place for self. I want to read you a couple quotes here. This is a guy named E. Stanley Jones. He said, to save your life in self-centered concern is to lose it. And to lose it in self-surrender is to find it. Leonard Ravenhill said this, before we can be clean and ready for Him to control, self-seeking, self-glory, self-interest, self-pity, self-righteousness, self-importance, self-promotion, self-satisfaction, and whatsoever else of self must die. Ooh. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The way of the world. Here's another one. A.W. Pink is self-seeking and self-shielding. Spare thyself is the sum of its philosophy. But the doctrine of Christ is not save thyself, but sacrifice thyself. Romans 12. Offer your bodies back to God as a living sacrifice. There is no such thing as belonging to Christ and living to please self. Make no mistake on that point. There is no such thing as belonging to Christ and living to please self. There's no such thing. All right? If you're going to find your life, if you're going to have an abundant life, a full life, it's going to require a committed life on our part to one who is totally committed to us, who will not break his side of the bargain. Are you hearing me? God is in covenant with His people. God is not a promise breaker, a covenant breaker. Amen. God remains faithful always. He does not change. It's His nature. He is faithful to us. What God is looking for are faithful ones who will see that and respond to one who will be so committed to them that he would never leave or forsake them, to say, God, I'm entrusting my soul to you completely now, to no longer live for self, but to live for you who died for me and rose again, to walk a new life. If you want to experience the abundance, overflowing life of God, you can't be full of self and experience the fullness of God. God wants to bring every one of us in this place to a full flame. He wants His people on fire for Him. Amen? He wants His people sold out for Him. I surrender. I surrender. When that other party says, oh, I want to take it back, say, die. I surrender to the, I yield, I give myself to the will of God every day. I have to choose life to follow the Holy Spirit. So God has committed Himself to us and to Israel, as we see in type. Israel is a type of the church. As He was committed to His natural people, Israel, so He's committed to you and I, the spiritual Israel. Return, He said, O backsliding children. This is Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. This is what He said to Israel. Return, O backslidden children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. That means back to Israel. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, which was the box, amen, that was in the holy place where the Shekinah glory dwelt, amen, between the cherubim. It was acacia wood that was overlaid with gold, meaning divinity over humanity, amen. And in that secret place, that's the heart, amen, of the temple. It represents the heart of man, where God's presence dwelt. In type, we saw there was a real, actual, you know, Holy of Holies, or an Ark of the Covenant, should I say, at the time. But it was to point us to the fulfillment, which would be in Christ, where you and I today become the temple of the what? Holy Spirit, and He dwells in the heart of us. So He's saying the time is coming when you will no longer say the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. It's no longer a religious system, but it will be a relationship with the living God. Amen. When Christ comes to dwell within us and we will be possessed of Him, the Shekinah glory of God will dwell in the hearts of His people. Amen. And we will be an expression of God's heart in the earth. That's what we're called to do. We're called to represent Him. Amen. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ, to go in His name and represent Him. And in order to do that, we have to be completely yielded and submitted to God. Amen. And give Him the whole offering. Amen. Because the part that you hold back from God is the part that He doesn't have, and what He doesn't have, He cannot bless. Are you hearing me? You want to have a blessed and overflowing and abundant life? You have to die to yourself, to your selfish ambition, your desire to be important, desire to be seen of men. Amen. We want to be important before God. Amen. And we are. And He said in verse 16, and it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. I know there's a lot of talk about rebuilding the temple. How many know that God does not dwell in a temple made by hands? And that temple can be a type or a shadow or a picture of Christ. And we've got studies on the temple, you know, what every part of it means. But it's to point us to somebody, amen? The fulfillment of all that is Jesus Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. If you have Christ, you have all that you have need of. And at that time, Jerusalem shall be called, listen, the throne of the Lord. The Lord is going to literally return, isn't He? He's going to plant His feet on the Mount of Olives. He's coming, and He's going to reign from Jerusalem over all the earth. The day is coming when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shall come, and He will put down all rule and all authority, all power, and every knee is going to bow to Him. Every tongue is going to confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. And the day will come when they will say, come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob. Yes, the people of the earth will give reverence and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every king will bow down. Amen. Every president will bow down before the King of Kings. And all the nations shall be gathered to Jerusalem, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. This is a promise. This is talking about the time when Jesus returns for a 1,000-year reign, called the millennial reign. We don't have time to get into it today. But there's not going to be any need for the Ark of the Covenant, because Jesus is the one who will be in the center of that. Amen. He is coming in His presence. Hallelujah. And so Jerusalem is going to be the world capital. Isn't it interesting? that small little country that everybody's fighting over and so upset over, just a little sliver of a country, and yet has so much sway on the nations. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose for that place. That is His throne. Hallelujah. He's coming when He sits enthroned in Jerusalem. The day will come. So God has been bringing His people back throughout the earth. And they had been scattered, amen. And the land had been barren for years. It was completely just a wasteland. It was barren. There was nothing there. And God began to move on people. And He began to tell His people, I want you to return back to the land. Was it 67 they became a nation again? Did I get that right? 46? 48. 48. Okay. I knew that. Yeah. But it became a nation. It was I was thinking of the Six-Day War, whatever it was. So anyways, they became a nation again out of a barren place, out of a place that had nothing. And you know, if you go to Israel today, and I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures of the fruit of that land. There's a reason why people want that land. There's a reason why people are jealous.
25% of all Europe's flowers come from Israel.
Amazing stuff. Fruit that's just tremendous size, and just the land is fruitful and it's blossoming and rejoicing like God said it would. It's all fulfillment of what was prophetically declared. So we know that time is wrapping up in this dispensation. Amen? Because God's people have come back to the land. And so you and I need to be ready, amen, because the Lord is coming. We need to be ready to meet Jesus. Now, what most people talk about, when they talk about love, they're really talking about convenient love. I've sang all kinds of songs in the world, love songs, and, you know, when I played in bands. But it was always the something where there was an agenda or there was something in it for me. You know, it was a love that had conditions. I love you because you're so beautiful. I love you because you're so hot. You know, I love you because whatever. Because there's something in it for me. Are you hearing me? That's not God's love. God's love is I love you because of who you are. Can you imagine that? God loving somebody like me? Don't say amen. You hurt my feelings. But God loves somebody like me. When I know I've been, many times in my life, I've been anything but lovely. Anything but desirable. But God loved me. And God was committed to leave the 99 and go and look for that one lost sheep. Amen. Even if it takes, what was it, a white car? What was that car? What was his name? Mike Michelle or Michael or? What was that car you were talking about? A Jaguar. Yeah. I believe God can show up in a white Jaguar even, you know, if He wants. He sends His messenger, right? Come on. Where are we going, Lord? So, but isn't this cool? God loves us that much that He left the 99 and He, folks, come on, let's get off our spiritual high horse. It wasn't that we were looking for Him. I don't understand. I can't fully comprehend or grasp the love of God. I can't. It's beyond me, but I've experienced, amen, His love to a degree in my life. And it's amazing. It blows my mind that God would love me. And God would search me out. And God came looking for me. Do you understand that a bridegroom would be the one to go and look for a wife? Today, women chase men, but usually, traditionally, it's been men chasing women. The bridegroom would go and look for a wife. So Jesus Christ, our divine bridegroom, came looking for a wife. He came looking for His people, His church, His lost sheep. And He left the 99 to look for the ones that He knew were the ones that belonged to Him, that were simply lost. They didn't know they were lost because they lived in a normal that was abnormal, but because that's all they knew, it was just their normal. And God came and interrupted our plans, thank God. And God brought us into a place of desperation, thank God. God brought us to a place where we had no way out except through Him. Thank God. I'm glad God broke me. I'm glad God allowed the things that happened in my life that brought me to my senses and brought me to repentance. And then I realized that a lot of the stuff that happened to me was my own doing. Not everything, but some things I had done to myself. Isn't it interesting how we like to blame other people for our problems sometimes? That we did it, we're the cause of it, but we want somebody else to be responsible for it. When God makes a covenant with man, He never breaks it. When He shed His blood on the cross, He made a covenant that will never be broken. God commits Himself to His covenant. So God has committed Himself to His covenant people. Okay? It's not based upon anything we have done. It was based upon God's own faithfulness and character and love for us. Now, this is the thing. When God commits Himself, He stays in that commitment. What God is looking for is a bride who will recognize that love, that commitment, that faithfulness, that trustworthiness of who He is, that God does not lie to us ever. He doesn't do anything to hurt us ever in the sense that He has ill intentions or evil in His heart towards His people. It's never like that. He disciplines us, but it's never hatred towards us. Are you hearing me? God loves us and He's committed to us. And what He's looking for is a bride who will consensually say, you know what? I want to give myself to someone like that. I'm willing to trust my life to someone like that. I'm willing to give someone like that the whole offering. If you really know the faithfulness of God, it will cause you to commit yourself to someone so faithful. Are you hearing me? His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. He's looking for faithfulness from His people. He remains faithful, but He's looking for someone who will return to Him and commit themselves in covenant to be faithful to Him. Do you understand that's what communion's all about? It's you and I pledging our faith to God and saying, Lord, I commit myself to You, to the faithful One who died for me. I give my life back to You. I come into covenant agreement with You that everything I have now is Yours. All that I am is now Yours, and everything You have is mine. That's a pretty good deal. We're giving Him the inferior, and we get the superior in return. You understand, the devil wants you to live in the inferior. He wants you to live in the carnal, in the natural. God has a supernatural, abundant, overflowing life that's full of joy and righteousness and peace and good fruit. And it's in Him. But we have to be willing to give Him the inferior in order to have the superior life of God. Do we trust in Him? Do we know that He's faithful? Do we just sing that and say that, or do we really know that God is faithful? If we really believe, then it will be reflected in the way that we live. If I say I believe God, then my life will reflect that reality. So what most people call love is actually convenient love. But it's not covenant love. You know what happens? When we base our love for God on convenience, that means God's going to do something for me. What's in it for me, God? When I have a convenient love attitude towards Him, then when God doesn't do things, hear me, the way I expect Him to, we have a problem. Because I'm in this for what I can get, not what I can give. Are we in this for what we can, only for what we can get, or what we can give to God? Do you hear that? Do you understand what Jesus was saying when he said, if any man will come after me, let him disown himself, deny, take up his cross and follow me. It's I give myself to him. Do you understand? God was not made for us. We were made for God. We got this thing turned around. We were created for his pleasure. So, I've got to be willing to give him the whole offering, to trust him with all of me. And how many have discovered that the more that I yield and the more that I surrender, the better things are for me? The greater the level of peace, the greater the joy. Amen? The confident assurance and the love of God shed abroad in my heart to where I'm not living in fear. I'm living in confidence because God fills my life. Why? Because I gave him my life. I gave him control of me. I let him have that. Amen? But when I'm holding on to self and when I'm self-centered and self-concerned and self-exalting, are you? And self-grandeuring, whatever. When it's all about self, then I have no strength, no grace in self to overcome fear. My confidence is in the love of God that should be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit as I yield and give him permission to fully possess me, my life. And then I have a perfect love. And I can walk in confidence. Hey, if they take me out tomorrow, it's a promotion. For me to live is Christ, like Paul said, and to die is gain. You know, a lot of times, folks, what we think is agape love is convenient love again. A lot of times we have expectations that God should have done it this way. And he should have done it like this. And we don't see the whole picture. God is much wiser than we are. God created us. I think he's smarter than we are. And he knows what's up ahead. And he knows what is necessary for us. He has a prescription for every life, and it's unique to us. It's not going to be like everybody else's life. Some people seem to have it harder than others, but whatever is necessary for us to get into a place where now God has someone who's broken and who's humble, is in position now that he can pour his glory into. Hello. Amen. And they can be trusted with it because they're over themselves. Convenient love is, I love you because you have something for me. Oh, I married my wife because she's really hot or she's a good cook. And she is a good cook. She doesn't like to cook, but she's a good cook. And she is hot. But I married my wife in the natural. You know, we marry people that we see value in. Okay? But this is the cool thing about God. Is that he married someone who's useless, worthless, in the sense that we really had nothing in the sense of giving back to him anything that he hadn't given to us in the first place. Yeah, that makes sense. We don't have anything that we didn't receive. You didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll have red hair or whatever, you know. It's just God said, you're going to look like this and these are going to be your talents, your abilities. And so I can't take credit for anything. If it all came from God. But somehow God saw value in me that I certainly didn't see in me. And God loved me despite myself, my failures and all the stupid stuff I did in life. And I'm so grateful that God is merciful. And I didn't get what I deserved. Amen? But God has shown me great mercy. And Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. When you've really been forgiven, when you really know the horrors and the ugliness of sin, and you've seen it in your life, and you've seen the depravity that you're in, and God took the veil away and showed you just how rotten you are, and you say, oh God, have mercy on me. I cried out to God in my bedroom that night, and the grace of God came. It was like having a shower on the inside. And I was forgiven. Everything became bright and everything changed. and my desires had changed, God was still working on me. Amen? He's still working on me. But everything had changed. There was a shift. And a desire welled up within me to say, someone who loves me that much, is that good to me? He deserves my life back. He deserves my service. Are you hearing me, guys? Every one of us here is called to a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. And a surrendered life is an abundant life. It's an overflowing life. You're just simply given something inferior that you might receive a superior return. And the enemy wants to dress up sin and dress up the stuff in the world to make it look good when it actually isn't. Amen. It doesn't satisfy you. You just do one. You go from one thing to another, one thrill to the next. And when that thrill's over, you're looking for another thrill because, you know, it's no different getting high. You get that peak and then you're trying to get back to that peak and get back and it keeps going like this. And all of a sudden you're like down on the bottom. It's like, I'm not even getting high. And then you overdose because you're taking so much dope to try to get back to that place again. Somebody know what I'm talking about here? I didn't look at you for any reason, okay? And you're smarter than that, aren't you, girl? Yeah. Hallelujah. But we gotta understand that what God is inviting us into is so glorious, so wonderful, so fulfilling, so satisfying, and that is life. Abundant, superior quality and quantity is what that word means. Life. And it's in Jesus Christ. But it requires an exchange. I'm giving him me, and he gives himself back to me. Amen? We are in covenant. This is a covenantal love. It's no longer a convenience love. If I just serve God out of convenience, as soon as something bad happens, I just throw my hands up and leave, walk away. I ain't going back to that church. Well, nobody shook my hand. Did you see the way she looked at me? I ain't going back to that church. You know? Well, what do you got for me here, you know? Well, I like to go where my needs are met. How about going into a church and saying, how can I meet somebody else's need? When you live like Jesus, you live satisfied. Why? Because he said it works this way. When you sow, you receive. Amen? When you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God will take care of your stuff if you take care of his. If you prioritize God and his kingdom, amen, he'll take care of your natural needs. You're not stressed out over it. You know God's going to take care of it somehow, some way. But I find my fulfillment, I find my satisfaction in the will of God. If you're living an unsatisfied life today, and I know there's some of you have came today because there's just a lot of stuff going on right now in your life. It's hard. But let me just encourage you, if you're living an unsatisfied life, your satisfaction is not going to come when everything is going your way. You still won't be satisfied. You won't be satisfied with a higher paying job or a nicer car or a nicer house. Are you hearing me, somebody? You're not going to be satisfied by the stuff that you have in your house. After a while, the stuff gets old. Amen. And then you look for some more stuff. Well, I bought those shoes a year ago. I want another pair of shoes, right? No. Your life will only be satisfied when you find your life in surrender. When you surrender your will to the will of God, you will discover the life of God in you and an overflowing and abundant life that is filled with the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants for every one of his children. We've got to grow up. Amen. We've got to divorce ourselves from death, divorce ourselves from this world and say, this world is a sinking ship. I'm getting off the ship. Amen. Don't be putting all your money in that. Don't invest everything in your life into this sinking ship. Amen? Live for eternity. Live for God. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Jesus said, store for yourself treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I see Jesus, I want to see him smiling and say, well done. Well done. You denied yourself to serve me. Now you sit down at my table. And I'm going to gird myself And I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to serve you. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's the heart of God. Not that we deserve that, but God's heart is love. He is committed to you. He's committed to me. If you understand that, you can trust Him. There's somebody here today, you have been struggling with trust. Now, I know that's a generality, but I know specifically. It's a trust issue for you, even with God, because you base your experience upon your worldly experiences. In other words, you have been betrayed so many times in your life that you don't even trust God. Are you hearing me, somebody? How can I trust God when everything I've known is betrayal and people, you know, be turning their backs on me? And well, let me just point you to the cross. Let me point you to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me point you to the one who hung on that cross for you. Totally committed to you. Faithful love. Sacrificial love. Because He wanted you to know how much He loved you and that He would go all the way to the cross to deliver you from the prison of self, selfishness. You could be free from yourself. That's what life is. Abundant life is being free from me. I'm my own worst enemy because I was born in sin, depraved and separated from God. I've got to give God this old mess so that He can do something with it. Amen. And He can redeem and He can make new. And I don't patch up the old man. I kick him out every day. And I walk in the new life of Jesus Christ. Amen. According to the rule of the Spirit. And I have life and peace by the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm not just coming to God because it's convenient. God, give me this. God, give me that. But because I have gratitude in my heart for all that God has done for me. And I love God. Amen. And if you love God, you will obey His commandments. Hallelujah. You'll do what He tells you to do, and that's love others. Serve others. Be my light. Be my salt in this world. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. I've gone to prepare a place for you. He's gone before us. Amen. The time is coming when He's going to return for His people. He's going to be returning for the ones who are looking for Him. And who are the ones who are looking for Him? The ones who are living for Him now are the ones that are looking for Him. If you're living for this world and you're living for self, you're not going to be looking for Jesus. You'll say, oh, don't come now, God. I've got too much going on right now. But if you're living for Jesus, right? You're going to be looking for Him. Because you're sacrificing the life that now is. You're sowing it towards that which will be when the Lord returns. To be glorified in His saints. And He gathers His own from the four winds. And say, you on my right. Amen. And the goats on the left. He's going to separate. I want to be ready. How about you? I want to be about the Father's business. I want to be just like Noah and his family. Amen. They forsook this world. They knew this world was going to be destroyed. They had faith in what God had said. And they weren't investing themselves in something that was going to be destroyed. Amen. Or perish. Instead, they gave themselves over to the work of the Lord and building of the ark to the saving of the family. Amen. And the day came when the floods came and God Himself sealed the door. And all those who had been warned and all those had been called to repent, who refused to give up their life and come and trust Jesus with their life. You see, God cannot have what you don't trust Him with. If you don't give Him your heart, He can't save you. You've got to come to trust Christ. And the day came when that flood did come. And how many know, folks, time is running out? Peter tells us that this time it's not going to be by water, it's going to be by fire. But those who are on the ark, Christ Jesus, those who have committed themselves to their faithful Creator, and those who have set themselves to build the body of Christ, amen, and be about their Father's business, those are the ones that are looking for Him. Those are the ones that are ready when He comes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray today, God, that this word, Your word, will penetrate deep into the heart. God, I ask you to break the stony heart today. God, I ask you to break through and shatter through our indifference, God, our apathy, our complacency. Shake us up, God, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, penetrate deep into the hearts and the lives of your people today to understand, God, that there is but one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ. That is you, God. We believe you, Lord. We believe you are the truth. We believe you are the only way. And we believe you are the only life. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, today to commit yourself to your Creator, to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've been away. Maybe you've been distracted. Maybe the world has been just distracting you from what you know your mission in life is. I want you to make a decision today. Would you decide this day and make up your mind that I'm no longer going to live for self, but I'm going to give up this life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, and I want Him to possess me, amen, with His abundant, overflowing life. And I want to live for Him from this day forward. Hallelujah. If that's you, I just want you to throw your hands up in sweet surrender to Him right now and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender all that I have, all that I am, I give to you. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your holy presence and change my heart. Make me a new creation. And lead me in your truth. Wash me in your precious blood. Purify my heart and make me clean. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the cross. I believe in my heart what I confess with my mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Lord, I surrender. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you've made a decision today. You made a commitment today. So from now on, it's Lord, you decide. Lord, what do you want? Lord, how can I bless you? What can I give to you? What can I do for you? I shared this a few days ago when I talked about Brother Andrew, who went to an underground Chinese church where they were in hiding from persecution. And they were risking their lives just to have church. Isn't it amazing? And in America, we can't get out of bed. But they were in hiding. And he came over there to preach. And they said, well, brother, we appreciate you coming over here, but we have a question for you. Before we allow you to preach, we want to ask you, what have you given up for Jesus Christ? Huh. We can testify till the cows come home about what God has done for us. Are you hearing me? Convenience, God has done this, God has done that. But the question is what have I given up for Jesus Christ? And you know, this is a man of God who was speechless. He never expected to hear anything like that. And do you know they wouldn't let him preach? Do you understand what God is requiring of us? All is a big word. We can say that. You said it earlier. Sometimes we sing these songs and we say, all to Jesus, I surrender. But do we really? Do we really? And I say, Lord God, help us. Help us to get over ourselves. And to make the full plunge, the full commitment. Because I know that when I give myself to you and I yield myself to you and I live for you and I'm on fire for you, amen, I'm walking with you every day, I'm in abundance, I'm in completion, amen, I'm in satisfaction, I have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit when I'm serving and living for God and enjoying His fellowship every day. Come on, somebody. If you're unfulfilled, if you're unsatisfied in life, it's because there's a lack of Jesus. You got to give Him the whole thing. Come on, one more time. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you everything. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I give you my husband. I give you my wife. I give you my family. I give you all that I am. And I ask you to give me all that you are. I want you, Lord. Not just your things, but I want you, Lord. Because when I have you, I have everything. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.